The Ombudsman for Children, Niall Muldoon, says Ireland is starting to fall behind on children's rights amid a record number of complaints to his office over the past 12 months. In his annual report, Mr. Muldoon questions why the state is taking in more revenue than ever before, and yet funding is not being directed towards key supports and infrastructure needed by children. John Downing, what are the takeaways from Mr. Muldoon's report this morning?
Well, none of them are encouraging, Barry. The volume of complaints, various aspects of children's rights, especially in the area of poverty and mental health. Mental health was the one that really screamed out at me here, because we have seen very recently the so-called CAMHS, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, the absolute shambles, dangerous shambles that it was in Kerry, north and south, and a trail of a reparation that is required there, and young people who aren't getting timely mental health care, are at very serious risk of being lost in adulthood as well. Very strong words from the Children's Ombudsman, as he should, as an advocate for children. He points out that Ireland ratified a UN Convention on the Rights of the Child 30 years ago, but has yet to enact it into legislation. And basically, he says he fears things are going backwards. And there is a response from the Health Board, from the HSE, Health Services Executive, which is the usual officially speak, a list of things, targets, money, priorities, and an implicit promise to do better.
Sean Sherlock.
But this is a very discouraging piece of work.
Sean Sherlock, the usual HSE response, as John Downing put it. Is that good enough given the litany of failures that Niall Muldoon outlined in his report today?
It's not good enough, and thank God for Niall Muldoon, because he speaks truth to power, and we're lucky to have him as Children's Ombudsman. There are 102,000 children waiting for access to therapies in this state as we speak. 102,000 children. When John speaks of CAMHS, there were 21,000 referrals to CAMHS last year. 21,000. And only 8,000 of those, only 13,000 approximately, got through the net for a referral to CAMHS. We have a situation at the moment. I'm dealing with umpteen numbers of cases where when children present with, say, for instance, autism, but there are other mental health issues as well, they cannot get an appointment with CAMHS as we speak.
But issues around CAMHS are there for quite some time, Deputy. What golden solution do you have tonight?
I think the golden solution is, if you mentioned CHOs, community health organisations, there is spare capacity in certain parts of the country in relation to therapies. But in my own area of CHO4, we're at the pin of our collar in terms of trying to get access to those various therapies that arise. But if you go to the west of Ireland and northwest, where there is capacity, you could start referring out into other parts of the country. There is too much siloed policy making within the HSE in relation to the care of children.
Just take you to task very briefly on something Mr. Muldoon told my colleague Claire Byrne earlier. He said that when he started doing these reports in 2012, there was no issue of child homelessness, and yet it crept in thereafter. And of course, Sean Sherlock, you were in government in 2012, and indeed your party colleague Alan Kelly became housing minister thereafter.
We were in government from 2011 to 2016.
And the issues that he is highlighting today emanated, he is saying, if
you look at where the country was in 2011, I mean, we were an IMF programme country.
But these problems
where there were
emerged
no
under
resources.
Your watch is what the Ombudsman is saying.
And the point
saying.
Is, the Ombudsman is also saying today that the surplus of between 10 and 15 billion, I think was to quote his words, should be used to deploy.
What Mr. Muldoon said was last September the government announced a phenomenal 11 million budget expansion for 2023, but yet things like a 24/7 national social work service for children, assessment of needs within the HSE, key supports that are needed by children, and money is not being directed towards there. Lisa Chambers, how can your government stand over that?
May I finish that point?
No, Lisa Chambers, please.
There are huge challenges. I mean, this report makes for grim reading, and I think all the government can do at this point is to take the recommendations and implement them and make improvements.
There was a report on CAMHS in January with Rani recommendations that haven't been implemented.
There are challenges within the HSE in terms of posts have been funded and have been sanctioned, and we are struggling to hire people. So that is an ongoing challenge for us. Sean mentioned about the West and the Northwest. The challenges are there as well in that part of the country. So it's not unique to some parts. But it is
not to the same extent, though. If you look at the metrics,
I would accept that. But look, it does need to be addressed. It's not going to be addressed in a quick fashion.
The direct point by Niall Muldoon, and it feeds into talk of this massive surplus that your party colleague Michael McGrann, government colleague Pascal Donoghue, have at the moment. He is saying the government have the funds here to fix some of these problems, but they simply won't. That's black and white in his report, Senator.
Well, 2 points to that. First of all, a lot of money has been invested in the health service and in CAMHS, but the difficulty in actually hiring the staff, even for posts that have been funded, that challenge persists. So money won't fix that immediately. And secondly, the corporate tax receipts that we've received, the bumper tax receipts, we can't rely on those coming in annually. So we can't use that for permanent spending. It will be used for infrastructure, for capital investment and one-off expenditure, but it cannot really be used. Well, it wouldn't be prudent to use it for permanent spending because we can't rely on those receipts coming in every year.
Prudent, says Lisa Chambers. Mick Barry, what do you think?
I think that if the state has 65 billion euro in surplus coming down the road, that we need to be spending it on issues like the housing crisis that we just discussed and issues such as this. I think one point in the report that needs to be highlighted is Niall Muldoon's pointing to the fact that there are nearly 90,000 children in the state now who are living in consistent poverty. And he points out that the numbers living in consistent poverty increased last year and increased by 40%. And I think that this is a clear indication that the government's cost of living measures are not going nearly far enough in terms of protecting ordinary people, including people who are at the edge of poverty, from the ravages of inflation. I think it's been compounded as well by the decision to lift the eviction ban and the fact that we've got so many young children now in emergency accommodation, where reports have shown that
I'm sure the senator beside you would argue those supports are working.
Well, I'd be interested to hear the argument, because if the Children's Ombudsman is making the point that child poverty has increased in the last year, not by 5% or 10%, but by 40%. It's a clear indication that the government's cost of living policies are not getting through to people who are living on the breadline.
Lisa Chambers.
Look, I mean, I think that the package for this year in terms of cost of living was significant. There were 8 different lump sum payments right across all social welfare payments, including the electricity rebate. So there was a lot of assistance provided. But I'm not discounting what the Ombudsman for Children is saying in terms of child poverty. Of course, that needs to be looked at in detail now.
40% rise, says Mick Barry.
You know, and I think that does need to be looked at and seriously considered in terms of other supports we can give, financial supports to families that are struggling.
Clearly the supports that are there aren't working, if that is what's highlighted by Mr. Muldoon.
I don't think we have evidence in this report to say that all supports weren't working. There was a significant budgetary package last year for cost of living, not just the electricity, but all social welfare payments, double payments, child benefit, family working payment, increase in fuel allowance, expansion of fuel allowance. I mean, there was so much support given. But if there are tweaks to be made or additional payments to be made that can assist those families, then absolutely the minister must consider that. But I think there are...
It'll take more
bigger
than tweaks, Lisa.
Well, you know, it is difficult to address all of those challenges in one budget, but I think last year's budget or this year's budget that was announced last year did a significant amount in terms of putting money back into people's pockets in terms of payments.
Let's see, Jennifer Cavanagh, what stood out in the report for you?
What stood out for me was the fact that he was highlighting that the International Convention on the Rights of the Child isn't actually in yet. We've gone some of the way with the children's rights referendum, so they have a right to be heard in court cases, but one thing that keeps happening with the way that we sign these international agreements is that we can sign them. We're probably the first in the queue in the UN to get up and sign them, but we have to pass them as domestic law. Same thing with the Convention on the Rights of the Disabled. And there is obviously a genuine reason why these conventions are brought about. They are not just some sort of junket. They are trying to respond to international problems. And again, it's another area where we're out of step with other countries that bring the straight in.
You're also concerned about the assessment of needs for autism.
Absolutely, because autism, it doesn't matter what what area of the socioeconomic scale you're on, everyone is in the same position. We're trying to get assessments, being pushed private, which obviously cost of living, money is not as readily available as it used to be. And honestly, all these things should be put in place as early as possible.
Yeah, 3,500 children, we're told, latest figures, waiting for a disability assessment,
exactly,
including an autism diagnosis.
And that puts them back so far on learning, trying to figure out what way they can learn. Yes, the figures that came out about the reading ability of Irish children is fantastic, but how many people are not being captured in that because they haven't been given the pathways through?
I want to move on very briefly before we
surplus could be used actually to go back to the back to the education system to assist that. For a small amount of money, you could get what people want, what children need, what parents want and families is access to the therapies, and they're not getting those.
Or even just the accommodations for exams, which one piece of paper from an educational psychologist will get you.
We, well,